Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And all cylinders offensively, and the first half of the game, you know, we didn't swing the bat well. Those weren't our best at bats. I was really proud of I thought we've stayed in it and took really good at bats the last few innings. But just can't have that many bad at bats through six innings.
Yeah, that sums it up. I'll give Jason credit. After we heard Jordan Westberg's quote yesterday near the end of the show with Cordell Woodland talking in pregame and him talking about, well, we could score a billion runs or we might get shut out. Well, they got shut out through, and Jason was like, well, I might look at no-hitter props.
There will be a fifth-inning no-hitter alert in this game, and it ain't going to be from Air Chuck Morton.
Yeah, Charlie
it's
Morton.
More like up Chuck Morton.
Yeah, Charlie Morton, whose ERA went slightly up after yesterday's game. Orioles lose 6-3 in a game that frankly wasn't that close. Another game against a lefty where they make the soft-tossing lefty look like Cy Young, as Logan Allen was 5 2/3, two hits, both by left-handed hitters, by the way. The all-righty lineup.
Hey, they finally have hit a home run off a lefty. Yeah. Now it wasn't Logan Allen. Yeah, it was a reliever.
And it was Cedric Mullins.
And it was Cedric Mullins, a lefty, who did it.
These right-handed hitters they brought in have given them nothing, and they are 6-10, and Charlie Morton is sporting an ERA of 8.84.
Yeah, it's untenable.
And they might have the worst starting rotation in all of baseball currently.
No, they don't. There's no might.
Yeah.
They do. It's a half run worse than anybody. It's a half run worse than the Rockies. Rockies are at 5.05. The Orioles are at 5.54.
Yeah. And there's no cavalry coming in to save them.
It's a bad product.
Brandon Young's coming.
Yeah, it's a bad product. Look, the at-bats, we've chronicled the sort of slope, the slippery slope that Hyde's on, where we saw him start to sort of show some real emotion last year when it was clear that the depths of their offensive malaise were affecting everybody, affecting him. And it was also clear that they weren't going to change a GD thing about it. And then you have a long offseason and you try to sell us on this is an elite offensive team and all these young players and yada, yada, yada. And you let 44 home runs walk out the door and you replace them with a DH who can hit lefties. And you play that guy in the outfield every day. Sanchez brings nothing except he better pound left-handed pitching. Well, he might truly bring nothing, not just the nothing he brings behind the plate, but the nothing he brings to the batter's box. And Laureano's not even a good defensive player anymore. So that's what they did. That's their offseason. But those at-bats last night were beyond pathetic. And the real part of this I'm getting sick of is having to watch the Royals, a less talent. a less talented team, not as many top five picks on that team, find ways to change and shape shift their identity from at-bat to at-bat just to get guys on base. I'm watching them work counts. I'm watching them walk. I'm watching them go first to third on opposite field hits. And I'm watching them do it like three straight nights, like the whole series. I'm watching them play selfless baseball. And then Cleveland comes in here, and we talked about, man, Zardo's the only guy hitting home runs for them, and he can't even make that much contact. And don't let Ramirez beat you. It's a one-man lineup. You can't walk people to get to Ramirez.
Walk the 8-9 guy.
So it's just horrible ball. But what was their offensive approach? There is no flick to switch. The light bulb's never on. They're an overwhelmed, young, naive baseball team. More naive than last year. Less accountability in the clubhouse than last year.
The Guardians also doing the little things. They had three sack flies last night. They laid down a bunt to advance the runners. They were doing the little things. For this offense, we were talking about Logan Allen, and I know very small sample size. He only had two starts prior to this. He was the bottom first percentile in whiff rate, and he was getting
mowing
swing
them
and miss.
Down.
He had six strikeouts.
They're striking themselves out. Yeah. It's pathetic.
He was near the bottom in strikeouts. He had six strikeouts after having five in the first two at-bats. And I tweeted this out last night, where you look at the guys that they brought in, and Hyde referenced it coming in, of guys that, okay, these are going to help us against left-handed pitching. Mm. Gary Sanchez, you brought him up. He has as many hits against left-handed pitching as all of us
combined.
Dude,
you can commit two errors on the same play and still throw him out by 2 feet at first base.
You like that last night?
How you want to talk about an ugly, unathletic, pathetic, low IQ baseball team? They make me sick.
0-9 against lefties. Ramon Laureano, 1-12 against lefties. Jorge Mateo, 1-9 against lefties. So they're combined 2-30. And we brought up a lot saying Heston Kerstad, Jackson Holliday. Clearly, they don't like them playing against left, starting against left-handed pitching. But then you bring Heston Kerstad in
against Classe in the ninth, 40 degrees.
You don't trust him to start against the left-handed pitcher. But let's bring him in against a flamethrower like that in a cold, damp night.
Guess what? He's about 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away from begging for those opportunities because the bus rides are real long in Norfolk. Mm.
Kerstad, 1-5 against lefties.
They got to have a corner outfielder who can catch the ball. Yeah. That's got to come from somewhere. Yeah. It ain't on the roster right now. And Kowser's not around the corner.
No. He's still, we heard Mike yesterday, he said still healing.
But Kerstad is a former second overall pick. Mm-hmm. And whether you think he is going to be able to make it in the majors or not, he's 26 years old. Let's see if he can handle left-handed pitching at the major league.
That's quite not honest. How Mike. That's not how Mike runs it. That's not what he wants.
I've seen enough to know that I feel I'd rather see Heston Kerstad face a lefty than watch Ramon Laureano.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Let's see what the kid can do because Ramon Laureano is giving you nothing.
They just went out and got Ramon Laureano in part because they obviously thought, as much as they talk Heston up and won't trade him, they don't trust him.
But it's also, you're facing Logan Allen, who are saying, this is not a hard-throwing guy. This is not a stud left-handed starter. So if not last night, when?
Let's also, something I was thinking about today. They like to talk about, or at least put it out there, about how fiscally responsible they are. And the quote about, I think this was from Rubenstein when he was in Switzerland, about winning the press conference, spending all this money, winning the press conference. Well, they gave Craig Kimbrell $13 million. Yep. They gave Charlie Morton $15 million. They've given Sagano $13 million. Mm-hmm. They gave Gary Sanchez $8 million. Mm-hmm. And they gave Ramon Laureano $5 million.
Hey,
that is over $50 million.
They gave Paul Bunyan $17 million.
But those
lumberjack ass in right field. What is this?
Those five guys, that's over $50 million of money that right now looks like it's been flushed down the toilet.
The GM doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. I've been telling you for 2 years. He's over his skis. He's the starter GM. He's not the real GM. Every single inning they play, it plays out. So if you're scoring at home against left-handed pitching this year, the Orioles are 27th in slug and 28th in OPS. So there you go. That's your big improvements. Since July 1st of last year, this is a span of 3,600 plate appearances. I'm going to repeat that. Since July 1st of last year, a span of 3,600 plate appearances. The Orioles are 16th below average in OPS at 715. They are 13th in slug. They are 15th dead average in on-base percentage. They are 15th dead average in batting average. And they are outside the top 10 in home runs hit in that span. And people keep telling me the offense is the strength of this team. And it's a patently mediocre at best offense that lost their second best impact bat to free agency because Michael Elias is smarter than everybody else. And he wanted to break Santander's fault. Tony Tater's homer again last night.
Yeah, he did. Austin Hayes homered last night, too. Not a right-handed bat. Dude.
This is not a – there's nothing special about this baseball team.
No. And
nothing.
And our buddy Jacob Calvin Meyer, IA Hall of Famer, tweeted last night as a reminder, since May 31st, they're 62-62. Since June 21st, they're 48-56. They've been mediocre for a long time.
And they're exactly who I told you they were. And like the idea that some 20-year-old is going to pick them up out of this is a joke. Here's what, the more I think about this team, do you know what the anomaly was? Do you know what the anomaly was about Michael Elias's baseball teams? The anomaly was what they did from opening day through that Bronx series last year. That's the anomaly. That was not sustainable. I called it out in real time. Said, don't get fooled by this. The quality of the at-bats, don't pass my eye test. The working of counts doesn't pass my eye test. All these home runs, maintaining that, doesn't pass my eye test. Gunnar Henderson, a 100 home run pace, not going to keep it up. Does the catcher ever hit when he catches? No. So that was then. That was the best of times. Perhaps. Perhaps. Oh, and you also had Corbin Burns and Santander in your lineup. Perhaps that was the anomaly.
We have a big Wednesday show. We're done early today because the Orioles play at 6:30. Baltimore Baseball Night Live from Pickles. Bob Haney and Jim Hunter right here on 105.7 The Fan at 5:30. Guest-wise today, our own Cordell Woodland checks in at 2:30. He was in the Orioles clubhouse pregame yesterday. He was also at the Ravens draft luncheon. We'll talk Orioles and Ravens with him at 2:30. Coming up at 4:30. The return of Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman, MD. We will talk, I'm sure we'll talk podcast and everything Ravens and Orioles with him at 4:30.
And he's got a pending legal matter, does he not?
Yes he does. Yes, he does.
With Baltimore County, I believe.
I saw it happen.
Bone saw it in real time.
Well, maybe I shouldn't
say Yeah, called as a witness.
Oh, you're now part of the Dr. Jerry Aloysius legal team.
I did not see any.
Actually, the state. I think you'd be a better witness. No offense. I think you'd be a better witness for the state than you would be for Aloysius.
And part of our Baltimore Baseball Night coverage.
Bone, I want you on the witness stand. Yeah. I will take a day off work. What is that called? An FTO?
Yeah,
to go watch you testify against Aloysius. Let's do the show from the courthouse. Yeah. Do you think they'd let us do it from the parking lot?
We can ask. Ryan Ripken joins us at 5 o'clock.
Oh, I'm just going to... The Orioles are not fine. Mm. They haven't been fine since last June.
No, the record says that you're right. Coming up next, though,
more than just the record.
Yeah,
Charlie records for lightweights. Yeah. I tried telling you that last May.
Charlie Morton, he was good for a couple innings last
Air
night.
Chuck.
Yeah, what do we think of Charlie Morton? And is it almost Old Yeller time? For
I think we
Charlie?
Should do a poll. What's the best Charlie Morton nickname? Is it Up Chuck? Is it Air Chuck? Because you know he doesn't get ground balls.
He does not.
Those curveballs that land.
Uncle Charlie.
Feet.
Uncle Charlie lamenting about his curveball after the game last night. We'll discuss Charlie Morton.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I thought Charlie threw the ball better than he has been. Better command, then he lost command there in the third, but only gave up one. Kind of a little bit of some bad luck before the Quan homer with the fly ball that hit the wall. That was jet stream was blown out, but I thought he had better stuff. I threw more strikes, still had three walks, but got into the sixth inning for us.
So that's Brandon Hyde.
That's where we are.
On Charlie Morton. Before we start talking about...
Plan that parade route,
yeah,
by the way.
Before we start talking about Charlie Morton's outing, let's hear what Charlie Morton had to say about his outing last night, Beltway Ben.
I think really it's like I'm getting by with my four-seamer, two-seamer cutter changeup. My curveball is just flat out. Like, my curveball is what separates me from other guys that have decent fastballs and changeups and cutters. My curveball is the pitch that I lean on for get me back in the zone, get me back in bad counts. Even just getting me in my delivery, my curveball has always just been the pitch that is the equalizer for me. It's the pitch that separates me from other guys that have similar stuff. And right now, I mean, I looked it up. I think they're hitting like 450 against my curveball, like with slug, hard hit.
Yeah.
In zones, not great. Swing and miss, not great. If I could get that curveball going, then I'm not standing here talking like this, you know. I don't think we're even having this conversation. Yeah. It's like that's how good my curveball has been. Like that's why it's so frustrating for me right now. Is that pitch that I've relied on for so long now is just, it's not performing for me.
Man, that guy's accountable. He's there and he knows. He knows what we know.
It's over.
That curveball, he can't, that's his pitch. That's why he's been pitching as long as he has.
Why did I go DEFCON 5 after the start in Toronto? Mm. Only one start. Why did I go DEFCON 5?
Curveball was bad.
They're waiting on it. They're sitting on it and they're destroying it. And that's not even a good Toronto lineup. And we come to find out, they don't hit home runs against anybody. Mm-mm. They lit Charlie Morton on fire.
Yep.
Charlie, they're actually hitting 435 off the curveball, so it's not quite 450. The bad news is, if that's not bad enough, they're slugging 870.
Yeah.
Slugging 870 off the curveball.
Yeah.
Elias gave this guy $14 million.
15.
Dude. He mentioned that the sinker was working for him. Yeah, I mean, they're only hitting 357 off that, and they're only slugging 643. So it's not as bad as the curveball. I'm not sure it's helping you out a whole lot.
Four-seamer's been good, Jason.
Yeah, the cutter, batting 444, slugging 556. They're only hitting 300 off the changeup. And yeah, he's living or dying with a 94-mile-an-hour four-seamer right now. It is far and away his best pitch. It's over. It's a disaster. It's Kimbrel 2.0. The difference
is... It might
be
worse.
It's worse because...
Kimbrel had a decent run for a month or so.
Dude, they sold him as at least a vacuum of innings. They sold it. They were thinking this guy might lead him in innings pitched.
He's also walked 11 in 18 innings.
It's over!
And it was tough hearing that second clip because it sounded exactly like a guy that is searching for answers and knows that he's not what he once was.
He's also 41 years old.
There's no way out of this, dude. His plus pitch, the single reason why he was able to pitch into his 40s, is arguably the worst pitch in baseball. Not the worst curveball. Not Charlie Morton's worst pitch. The worst pitch that any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball throws right now is probably Charlie Morton's curveball. It's over.
He just sounded defeated talking about it. And he's just getting shelled. And we were talking yesterday, okay, that first inning could maybe be telling. 10 pitches, boom, 1, 2, 3, and then...
Hey, first two innings were good.
Yeah.
And then he walked the 8-9 guys.
Yeah, it was just a mess.
The 8-9 guys in a terrible lineup.
Yes. We talked to Daryl Ryder yesterday. He said the lineup goes about four deep.
What did I say at the start of the show? Quan gets on base a ton, and Ramirez will hurt you. That's it. That's the danger zones with the guard. It's the one guy. It's the number one hitter and the number two hitter.
I apologize.
Don't let those guys beat you.
I apologize. He walked Naylor.
Walked Quan.
Then Rocchio gets a base hit. Then he walked Quan.
Yeah.
So the bases were loaded, nobody out. And he had Ramirez come to the plate. He got Ramirez at a sack fly, and then he got a double play.
And the wind was blowing in then and helped him out on that one. So, I mean, it giveth and taketh away. Like, this isn't professional grade. You could send Charlie Morton to the Eastern League right now, and he would get his boobs ripped off. Okay? It's not fooling nobody. It is what it is.
Graphic.
It's over. So I don't know how much more they want to get blood from a stone. God knows they shoved Kimbrel down our throats for months longer than they should have last year. If it was really about winning, it's not about winning. It's about being right. It's the Elias way, not the Oriole way. He poops all over the Oriole way. They don't value starting pitching. They don't value defense. So I don't know, guys. Like, we've got an exercise coming up, six dudes who won't be here by June 1st. Like, I don't know how much more you can send that out there and pretend you're playing Major League Baseball. Then you got guys behind them who can't play their positions.
No.
So you couple this with that. Uncle Ruby, I'm just telling you, pay real close attention to your attendance figures. If the 10,000 conscientious objectors in October didn't tell you that we know your GM's a fraud, they're speaking at the turnstiles. We are a smart, educated baseball group here. Ivy League might not believe it, but it's true. He's not fooling anybody with the rhetoric, with the BS he spews from the dugout before the game, with all the excuses and all the lies. He built this meticulously. It's all on him, and it is a house of cards. It's already crumbled, and they haven't even faced really, really good teams yet.
Jason, he doesn't have anything to do with the lineup, though.
Yeah, his computer just spits out, here's what I would do if I were you, and then Hyde says, yes, boss.
Yes.
Now, he doesn't make him do it, but we all know where his bread's buttered.
Yeah.
Everything comes from the big three.
No.
They micromanage and run every little, from what color the walls are at the Dominican Academy to Cedric Mullins, even though he's the only guy hitting for you, batting eighth in the playoffs. It's put it all where it deserves. Mike Elias, it's the Elias way. It's the antithesis of, if you're my age, everything you were raised on as an Oriole baseball fan, as a baseball appreciator, aficionado. They want to be right. Well, guess what? It's a joke. It's borderline unwatchable. How about the throw from O'Neill down the first baseline? That doesn't happen in the major leagues. Why? That's the best you can do. You've drafted 9,000 college outfielders who you tell me are super athletic. You drafted all these shortstops, and we're watching this.
He did make a nice short of third base.
He did. Got the assist.
Yeah.
All right, second base.
I mean, that's Rogio was asleep. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, stupid base.
He looked like an Oriole.
Yeah, throw was a throw, though.
But come on.
It's right there.
This guy, I told
Close
you, what did I say?
Yeah.
What did I say three starts into this? Keep putting him out there in the outfield. I dare you. And they want to be right, so they keep doing it, and we get slop like that. That's a joke. The throw that matters is the one to home.
Yeah. Orioles lose 6-3 last night. They're back in action again tonight against these.
We got a lineup.
Yeah, we do have the lineup. Would you like to hear the lineup?
Oh,
Jason?
Man, I can't wait.
Gunnar Henderson leading off at shortstop. Adley Rutschman's your catcher, batting second. Ryan O'Hearn's your DH, batting third. Cedric Mullins batting fourth in center field. Tyler O'Neill batting fifth in right field. Heston Kerstad back in the lineup. He's batting sixth in left field. Ryan Mountcastle, he's the first baseman, batting seventh. Jackson Holliday batting eighth at second base. And Razor Ramon
Razor.
He's at third base, batting ninth.
It's Mean Dean tonight, huh?
Indeed.
He's got to be thinking, so you put him in left field at Kauffman Stadium. He killed me in the first inning.
Yeah.
What do I do to deserve this?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm Mean Dean, I'm like,
well, who's going in left field?
Well, he built a terrible baseball team.
Yeah, it's Heston.
I mean, they don't have corner outfielders. One guy gets hurt, Colton Cowser, and I'm supposed to believe, oh, well, that's our out.
Well, remember last year, everything went sideways because one guy, Jordan Westberg, got hurt. That was the reason everything went sideways last year. At least that's what some will say. Now it's Colton Cowser. Coming up,
16th in OPS since July 1st last year. 3,600 plate appearances.
The kids would say that's mid.
Just might be who they are.
They might be mid.
Well, there's 30 teams, right?
Yeah.
So they're 16th.
That's mid.
It's below average.
Yeah, it's right there at the
slightly below average.
Yeah.
That's their superpower.
Yeah. No, it's not. Hey, you know what Cordell Woodland's superpower is? It's talking to us. And we'll talk some O's and some Ravens with him next here on The Fan. Orioles lose 6-3 last night, back in action again tonight, trying to salvage game two of this series and maybe win the rubber match on Thursday and win a series, which they haven't done yet. Let's talk some Orioles and some Ravens now as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline and talk to our own Cordell Woodland. And Cordell, thanks as always for joining us. So you were in the clubhouse pregame, and Jordan Westberg was telling you about, like, he's not worried about their struggles versus left-handed pitching. It's a small sample. Things can change tonight. We can score a billion runs. We can score zero runs. Well, Logan Allen had himself a no-hitter into the fifth inning, so I guess he was closer to the zero than the billion.
Yeah, at least, like you said, for the first half of the game. I mean, they made a push in the seventh and eighth inning, but, you know, you start getting into the back end of that bullpen and Class A comes in, I mean, it's pretty much over at that point. I mean, it was just a bad night all around for them yesterday. I mean, offensively getting no hit halfway through the game. Another bad outing for Charlie Morton, who started off well, but it's like once the wheels started wobbling, it was just a matter of time before they just completely fell off. I just think that this is a team right now. I don't know what the long term looks like, but right now they just look like a bad baseball team. They look like they're in trouble. There's nothing that about this team you can hang your hat on. Not offensively, defensively, pitching, nothing right now. They're just not doing anything well. And the Guardians are a decent team, but even against a team like that, I think it'll be easy to show the Orioles shortcomings like you saw last night.
Cordell, it's really become a big pet peeve of mine for a while now, just their refusal to let their young lefties bat against left-handed pitching. And I know Logan didn't have reverse splits last night, but you're looking at the right-handed specialists that they brought in. They're all really struggling.
They're like special.
Laureano, Gary Sanchez, Mateo. Why are we not able to see them? And then you put Heston Kerstad in a situation against Class A in the ninth, who throws gas, coming in cold. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, I'm right there with you. Me and Ben talked about it a lot last night on First Take, just especially right now where you're looking for answers. This is the time of the year where I feel like you should be giving these guys a chance. Laureano is not the future of your team. You're sitting a guy in Heston Kerstad where, I mean, he's in his mid-20s. You have to figure out what this kid can do, whether he's going to be a big part of the future for this team or helping you as we get closer to the trade deadline. But, I mean, I just don't know how any team out there, let alone the Orioles, knows exactly who Heston Kerstad is right now, because the same questions we had about him last year, I would argue we have those same questions today because we simply don't know. And with Jackson, we're talking about a dude that's supposed to be one of the future pillars of this team, and they're just not even giving him a chance. And then, like you said, the guys that they're putting out there and replacing them, Laureano is supposed to hit lefties. He's not hitting anything right now. And look, I love Mateo, I do, but I don't need to see Mateo out there in the starting lineup 3 to 4 times a week. I just don't. So I don't understand why, especially now with them searching for answers offensively right now, that they're not willing to give some of these young guys a chance. Before it was they're trying to win, and I still think that they're trying to win, but you're losing right now. You're losing. You're a struggling team. You're trying to find ways to win. And I don't think it's great to sit these guys on the bench. And I also don't think it's great to just throw Heston out there against one of the best closers in baseball late in the game and then say, hey, kids, show us what you got.
Is Charlie Morton still here Memorial Day, Cordell?
Out of necessity, yes. Probably out of necessity because, I mean, they're scraping the barrel right now for arms. I mean, we were talking to Mike Elias yesterday, and he's talking about Brandon Young coming up here and being their fifth starter. I mean, he wasn't on their radar at all to start the year. So, I mean, out of desperation and necessity, they have no choice. I mean, they've invested $15 million into him. They're going to try to see this thing out, I think, as long as they possibly can. But at least in May, we don't have any of the other starters that will be back by that time. I mean, maybe Eflin, Elias yesterday said weeks, not months.
He threw today, and he said, just to update you guys, Zach Eflin talking to the media says his thoughts align with Mike Elias's. He's not interested in missing a lot of time for whatever that's worth.
I mean, they can't afford for him to miss a lot of time. And look, the breaking news is they weren't a great rotation even when Eflin was out there. So, I mean, they just need help. But I do think Morton, not a necessity, will probably still be around.
Cordell, and we're talking with Cordell Woodland. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. You know, you mentioned Mike Elias lamenting the problems he has with the rotation. It is a shame that Major League Baseball doesn't have a process in place where during the offseason you can go and either trade or sign guys to help you with said rotation.
Yeah, I mean, and look, he was asked point blank yesterday, you know, about his thoughts on the rotation, and did he feel like he had did enough in the offseason to address that? And I mean, he didn't give a yes or no. You know, he kind of went around long-winded and talked about how, you know, that they're trying to make as many deals as they can to help the team and bolster the roster. You lose an ace like Corbin Burns, it's only natural that you're going to take a step back. But I think the guys that they did take a chance on, they took big swings on guys like Morton and Sagano. And I get it. They weren't expecting these guys to play the role that they're having to play right now due to all these injuries. But you got to be able to plan for that. I mean, we see pitchers didn't just now start getting hurt with the Orioles. We've been seeing this around Major League Baseball for a while now. So, I mean, it has been a failure, and it was unfortunate that they weren't able to do more to bolster that rotation in the offseason.
Cordell, switching gears to the Ravens, I know it's called the Liars' Luncheon for a reason, but were there any takeaways from yesterday's press conference for you?
I think, you know, the cost of saying that they had over 200 people on their board compared to, what, about 160-something in some years past. I mean, that could be something. I don't think this was breaking news, but him saying that basically guaranteeing that they're going to get a corner and a safety, I guess that's something. But again, I think that more so verifies what a lot of us already thought anyway. I found it kind of funny that he was asked about the Derrick Henry extension, and he went all the way left field and talked about undrafted rookies and all this and that. Didn't even mention Derrick Henry by name. I mean, didn't talk about him at all. I thought that was, like, at least a aha moment. I don't know what to take from that. But overall, I mean, it wasn't anything groundbreaking, I thought, from yesterday. When you're picking where they're picking and you're the type of team that's built the way that they are, I mean, how many of these rookies are really coming in and making instant impact anyway? I mean, DaCosta, by his own admission, said yesterday, even with their 11 picks, he doesn't expect all 11 to make the team. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's about them definitely getting a big bang for their buck, especially in the early rounds, trying to get as many impact players on the defensive side of the ball as they can. I'm curious to see how many offensive linemen they take. And then also the special teams deal with them figuring out a returner. That could lead to them possibly taking more than one receiver.
Over under on number of Orioles everyday players you see in the clubhouse while it's open today, Cordell. What do you?
I would put it at 3.5.
That's high. That's actually higher than I thought.
Yeah, I would put. I'm cautiously optimistic. Yeah, cautiously optimistic. Now there will be a couple of bullpen guys in there. I'm counting that 3.5 in with two bullpen guys and, you know, maybe two positional
okay,
players.
Okay, that's
that
there. You go. That's more what I was
out,
thinking.
Rotate
yeah.
in and out. That's, mm-hmm. that's. I think that's best case scenario right now.
Gotcha.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, Cordell. Maybe they'll score a billion runs tonight.
Yeah, well, they're due. Cordell, thanks as always, buddy. We'll chat.
Thank
next
you,
week.
Brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
Coming up next, we will get to Eric DaCosta and the Liars' luncheon yesterday, and his thoughts on the secondary, cornerbacks, safeties. What does Eric think about that position in this draft? We're going to hear it next here on The Fan.
Well, I'm confident, you know, fairly confident that our Darius will be back. I don't know that it affects our decision making at the position at all. I think it's a pretty deep safety crew, and is, you know, obviously the top guys, but then there's maybe four or five or six guys that will probably be you know, third, fourth, fifth round guys that are good players. I mean, this is a really nice pool of players to pick from. I think we definitely will look at that. I think we added the two young guys last year. Both guys play well for us on special teams, Bo and Sanusi. But, yeah, it's a good group of players this year. And again, a position, I mentioned corner, I would probably guess that of our 11 picks, at least one of those would be a safety.
So that's Eric DaCosta yesterday at the Liars' Lunch, and we call it the Liars' Lunch because, well, they call it the Liars' Lunch because there's not a lot of truth spoken, but you just heard what he had to say.
That was truthy.
It seemed pretty...
I thought that was truthish.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of truth there. Ardarius
definitely
is
the vicinity of truth.
Yeah, Ardarius will be back, and they will likely draft at least one corner.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about safeties quite a bit. There's certainly a very legitimate chance for me that... if they do use that pick at 27 and one of the top two safeties are on the board, I think there's a real chance that is the direction that they go. I know we've gone back and forth on what the potentially generational, like, length and breadth of this D-tackle class could mean for how many go in the first 30 picks, how many go in the first 50, how many teams are content to just keep waiting. I don't know, man. The closer we get, the more I think those guys are going to go. And there's going to be a run on D tackles in the 20s, in sort of like the way we've seen most years, a run on offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Because they're going to just be seen as good enough and safe enough with enough upside and enough pass rush or projectable pass rush, not just run stuffers, that, you know, Maybe the Ravens just feel like they have to jump in on that. Maybe that's already picked through at 27. It's hard to say. But they deserve the benefit of the doubt for me when they pick DBs. And now you're picking DBs with Chuck Pagano to help develop them. That's probably a smart thing to take more than one.
Well, and I think to your point, we've done the exercise so far this week looking at teams picking ahead of them. And a lot of teams need defensive line help ahead of them. So that's going to have that run that you're saying. And they do need help at corner. And Brandon Stevens, no matter what you thought of him, he played a ton of snaps for them last year. And they need to replace that. And obviously part of that is Nate Wiggins. But who else is going to step up? TJ Tampa, we'll see if he can realize some of the potential. Them drafting him last year, he was a redshirt guy. But they're always looking to add at DB. They spend a ton of money, and they use draft capital.
Well, at least for now, Jalen Armour Davis is still here, so you got that. You got that, and Shadobi Awuzie is here. But yeah, they love. It seems to be, as Jason, you like to say, baked in their cake that they're going to take a corner just about in every draft.
Well, and again, I think with some of these kids, we got to be careful about the nomenclature we use because, like, I don't know what internally they probably have. Some nickname for what Kyle Hamilton does, but like he it's really about at the end of the year looking and sort of dissecting the pie chart and how much was he basically a linebacker, how much was he a slot corner, how much was he a designated pass rusher, how much was he a free safety, how much was he a box safety, and the more players you have who can do many of those same things, even if not obviously at quite the level that Hamilton does and not quite the same body type as Hamilton, then the more flexibility you have and the more you can probably cover up some other warts. What I do think we know about them as a front office is they're more interested in stopping the pass than they are having individuals who can destroy the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like they feel like philosophically, systematically, combination of talent and how they're deployed, we need to have as many premium players as possible, premium athletes as possible, available to help us affect the ball in flight. That's their core tenet on defense. And that's going to lead them to, oh, they don't necessarily need a safety. Yeah, well, for them, he's not just a safety. And they've got 15 different ways to get him on the field. And they're going to keep leaning into that.
We talk about it all the time. Marlon Humphrey, he was a first-round pick. They paid him top-of-the-market value when he was up. They took a big swing at Earl Thomas and Marcus Williams. Didn't end up working out there. Kyle Hamilton, a first-round pick. Nate Wiggins, a first-round pick.
They selected Owe, but Owe and Ajabo, they're only two edge rushers they've selected in rounds one or two since 2018. And they haven't paid an edge rusher serious money since Suggs.
And you think, Jason, we touched on this a little yesterday, but like a guy like Shamar Stewart, I think his name is, you think he's long gone by the time?
I placed a wager about 4 days ago on him to go in the top 10. Now it's for a pretty good return. And it's more a hunch than, like, I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. But I think for how it was priced, I'm like, I see potential value there. Like, I think there is I don't know how to cap the percentage, but a more than negligible chance that somebody looks at him and says, like, yeah, I think he could be best of breed in this group. And I don't care that somebody else might think he's only the second edge or the third edge. He's the second best. We think he has the potential to be the best or second best impact front seven player in this draft. And we need that. And the Eagles just showed you can never have enough of that, especially trying to beat a Mahomes with the season on the line. So yeah, I think there's value on him to be the second defensive lineman taken after Abdul Carter. And I think there's potential value on him as a top 10 pick.
Coming up at 3:15, we want to hear from the people. The Orioles season seems to be going sideways. It is early. Are people as upset as we are about the direction of this baseball team? We'll talk to you at 3:15. But coming up next, time to have some fun. In light of this Orioles season so far, who are the six coaches,
execs, six people,
or players that could be not part of this team anymore come June 1st? We'll give you our list next here on The Fan.